This is You Can If You Will with success coach, trainer, and speaker, Kip Kent. The show where everything we do is aimed at helping you become personally effective and professionally successful.
Hello, and welcome to You Can If You Will. I'm success coach Kip Kent, and I have with me today a very special guest. CJ Hayden is the author of Get Clients Now, Get Hired Now, and 50 Ways Coaches Can Change the World. CJ is a business coach and teacher who helps entrepreneurs get clients, get unstuck, and get on purpose. She's taught marketing for John F. Kennedy University, Mills College, and the U.S. Small Business Administration. Her articles on sales and marketing have been published internationally in Home Business, Selling Power, American Salesman, and more websites and e-zines than I have time to list right now. CJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kip. I'm pleased to be here.
Well, CJ, before we jump into any questions, I just have to take a moment and just tell you what a personal thrill this is for me. And, of course, you know some of the backstory, but I want my listeners to hear this as well. I just want to give you my own testimonial. When I left Franklin Covey many years ago to start my own coaching business, which is actually over 11 years now, I had no idea how to market. I very quickly learned that coaching and consulting and many other types of professional-based companies that deal more with clients as opposed to customers buying a hard product, they're just not the same as other organizations when it comes to marketing. And I found out that I didn't know what to do to get those clients. A friend recommended Get Clients Now, and it has changed my business, which of course in turn has changed my life. I've recommended this particular book to literally thousands of clients, and in every case, those who have applied the principles that you share in this book's pages, they have found increased success. So I just want to start off by saying thank you for writing the book, and thank you for coming on the show.
Wow, thanks so much for that, Kip.
Now, don't get a big head over all of that. You know, you still have to stay humble, but it's true. You have impacted so many people, and I'm sure that you get that all the time from those who have read and applied. And listeners, I just want to emphasize that. And applied, these are principles that CJ writes about. If you don't apply the principles, sure, it's still interesting reading, but it's not going to do you much good. You got to follow through and act on it. So wonderful, wonderful book. And by the way, Get Hired Now. I've had many clients, though I work mostly with entrepreneurs. I've had many clients who were re-entering back into the job force and they weren't sure how to go about all of that. Turned straight to Get Hired Now. What a fantastic book written in that same beautiful style that you used with Get Clients Now. And they found success also. So, CJ, I've got a bunch of questions for you. I hope you're at the ready.
Okay.
All right. So, CJ, I want to know, and I know my listeners want to know, what are the most common mistakes that you see business owners make in marketing their businesses?
You know, one of the most common mistakes that I see business owners make is searching for the marketing silver bullet. They seem to be on this quest for the one magic formula that's going to take all the effort out of marketing and somehow miraculously attract an endless stream of customers forever.
And then never have to do anything again, right? Just one and done.
Exactly. They just want somehow to not have to do all of this work with marketing we keep talking about and instead just plug in somewhere and have the customers arrive. So they try one of these approaches after another, or they pile one on top of another. And where they end up is they end up not putting enough effort into any one thing because they're always stopping one kind of marketing and starting another one, or they're always trying to use way too many different marketing approaches at a time.
So are you going to crush them all right now? Are you just going to go on record and say there is no silver bullet?
Well, I'll tell you, there's no silver bullet, but there is a secret, and it's actually right in front of you. The magic formula, the secret for marketing your business, is choosing a set of simple, effective things to do and doing those things consistently. That's it. That is the whole secret right there.
It's not necessarily hard, but it does require consistency.
It does. You've got to have some sort of plan. And a plan isn't a big deal. A plan is just simply a list of things to do. So you choose a set of simple, effective things to do, and then you do those things consistently. So instead of doing a lot of a little bit of many, many different things, or doing one thing today and another thing tomorrow and something else the day after that, just choose a few things to do about marketing that you can actually accomplish well and do those things over and over. That is the silver bullet.
Very good. Multiple silver bullets on multiple days. I like it. So how can an entrepreneur determine where to focus their marketing efforts without feeling like they're shooting in the dark?
That's a really important question, because what I'm saying to people is, all right, choose just a few simple, effective things to do. Do those things over and over. You got to make sure that you're doing the right things. So I have a very straightforward diagnostic tool. It's called the Universal Marketing Cycle. And if anybody wants to see the visual of the cycle, I'm going to give our URL where they can go and look at it. It's getclientsnow.com/marketing_cycle.htm. getclientsnow.com/marketing_cycle.htm.
By the way, for those of you who might already have CJ's book, it's also on page 32. I know, because I'm looking at it right now.
Thank you so much, Kip. So the marketing cycle, it's like a water system. There's collection buckets at the top for prospects and contacts and leads and referrals. And all of those buckets empty into your marketing pipeline. And the pipeline shoots all of those people into your follow-up pool. And what you have to do is you have to dip into your follow-up pool in order to move potential clients and referral sources further along in the system, to make sales presentations or have conversations with people, and then close sales. This question of where to focus your marketing efforts, you can use the Universal Marketing Cycle as a diagnostic tool. You can look at it and go, all right, well, where am I in my marketing right now? Should I be spending most of my effort on filling the pipeline because I need more prospects and contacts? Or perhaps I've got a pretty full pipeline already, but where I ought to be focusing is on following up with the people who I already have in my pipeline. Or maybe I'm following up all the time. But what I'm not doing is I'm not getting to the place where I'm actually having a conversation with people. I'm not presenting my business to them. Or maybe I'm presenting a lot, but yet I'm still not closing sales. Depending on where you are in that cycle, the marketing activities that you need to be engaged in are very, very different.
Oh, yeah. And I found that to be true for me, too. And frankly, and I hope that our listeners will go out to that URL you just gave them and look at this image. I love that you represent it with liquid. We know that levels can rise and fall. And I know that if my level of liquid in the follow-up barrel is really low, I got to fill it up more. I need to be doing more with prospects and contacts and leads and referrals. And if that's running over, like my barrel is running over the top, then I need to be following up more. I'm not keeping up with the follow-up that needs to be done. It's a great image. I actually have a copy of it that I keep on my wall in my office to always remind me of where I am in the universal marketing cycle and what I should be doing. So this is a powerful image. And it's funny, now I've taken some liberties, CJ. I customized mine just a little bit. I hope you don't mind. But we always hear the saying, the fortune is in the follow-up. And so mine says fortune. I've got the word fortune written out to the side and an arrow that points into the little follow-up barrel that I know that the fortune's in there. So that's my little customization. Maybe a future release of the book, you could give me a little credit and add that in there. Just saying.
I love that. That's fabulous. And all customizations of that sort are quite welcome.
Very good. All right, so I've got another question for you. And by the way, knowing that we were going to have this show, I've actually asked many of my customers. So not all of these questions necessarily come from me. Some of them come from some of my clients as well. How can entrepreneurs choose which are the best ways to market for their unique situation? Because they're not all the same, and they know that they have uniqueness. And we don't want them to just take a canned approach, right? So how can they choose the best ways for their unique situation, and how can a book, and it's bound, and it is the way it is when it comes to them, how can that help them customize, or are they going to be worried it's a canned approach?
I think that's a very legitimate concern, and this is where I think the system in Get Clients Now is a little bit different, or maybe even a lot different, from other ways that marketing tends to be approached. There are three angles that you want to look at in order to determine what's the best way to market for me. So I'm not going to tell you, go do a whole bunch of stuff that's all about filling the pipeline. If your pipeline's already full, you can go straight to working on follow-up. And if you're doing a great job on follow-up already, terrific. Let's look at closing the sale and what might need to change there. So you first of all have to use that stuck place, determine where it is you need to focus and which stage of the universal marketing cycle. Once you've done that, there's two other things you want to consider. The first is what is going to be overall the most effective types of activities versus what do I think I will actually do. So let me say a little bit more about both of those things. The first one is, what is the most effective way that I can market? With a very broad brush, the most effective way for any independent professional, any person who is in business to get clients, the most effective ways for them to market are those that permit, facilitate direct contract instead of indirect. The best marketing methods always, always, always are those that put you into direct contact with your target market. Talking to them in person, talking to them on the phone, writing personal, not mass-produced letters or emails, networking in all of its forms, building referral relationships, public speaking. All of those are really excellent ways to reach out to customers directly. So let's say, for example, that you are a life coach. If you are a life coach, any one of those approaches I just mentioned are much more effective than sending out your e-zine to people who never requested it, or creating a Facebook page where you post updates as your coaching practice instead of as yourself. Those are two things I very often see coaches do, completely, totally ineffective approaches. They're indirect. They're anonymous. In some cases, like sending out your e-zine to people who don't ask for it, they're actually offensive to many people.
Yeah, they just don't want to have you being part of their clutter, right?
Exactly. Let's imagine that you're a virtual assistant. Any one of the approaches I mentioned for direct contact, talking to people in person, networking, referral relationships, all of those are much more effective than either running an AdWords campaign to bring people to your website or sending out anonymous emails soliciting business. Now, those are two things I very often see virtual assistants do. They're not effective. They're not a productive use of your time. They're not a productive use of your money. When, in fact, there are so many other things you could be doing that allow direct personal contact, overall, any one of those things is going to be more effective than things that keep you acting indirectly or anonymously. Number one, use your stuck place, right? Figure out where you need to put more work, what stage you need to focus on. Number two, always choose direct contact over indirect every time you can. Number three, select what you will actually do. So if you're paralyzed by cold calling or you're paralyzed by public speaking, there is no point including those things in your marketing plan because you're just going to avoid them. Instead of choosing to do things that you might find immobilizing, look for the things that you're naturally drawn to. You know, if you're typically outgoing and you enjoy talking to people, choose things that are going to get you to networking events and give you lots of time on the phone. But if talking to strangers makes you uncomfortable, well, choose to do things to do that are going to allow you to concentrate on building referrals with people you already know, or maybe writing articles for publication. If you choose activities that you like or are at least willing to try, you're going to do them. If you choose things that are too hard, too difficult, you don't like them, you're not going to do them. They shouldn't be part of your plan.
So my question for you regarding that, speaking to a certain segment of my listeners now, I know, and by the way, I'm looking at page 16 in the book, which I have dog-eared and highlighted in every which way. I know that the most effective ways are the outreach, the direct contact, the follow-up, the networking, the referral building, and those have been the most effective for me over the last 11 to 12 years. And I do those, by far, they're 70 to 80% of what I do. But I may have another listener or client out there who says, yeah, those are the things that I'm not very comfortable with. Now, I'm not too shy about telling my clients we all have a comfort zone. And there is a zone outside of that zone called the courage zone. And that's where most of our growth and our stretching and our reaching happens. And it doesn't feel comfortable out there. Would you counsel them to do the things they're most comfortable with because they'll do them, but to also stretch themselves at some point to do those more effective things also?
I would definitely advise people to do both of those things. Have the bulk of the things you choose to do be things that you're comfortable with so that you know you'll actually do them, and have something in there that's a stretch, that's going to pull you out of yourself and allow you to start building up that courage that you know you need more of in order to have the level of success that you really want. But don't make everything a stretch, because if everything is a stretch, it's going to fall apart. I suggest to most people, and this is what's in the Get Clients Now program, that you have 10 specific things you're going to do on a daily or weekly basis. One of those things should really be a stretch for you, but 9 of them should be things that you're pretty sure you're going to be able to do because they're within your comfort zone. And that way, you can address both of those issues at the same time.
Without overwhelming yourself, which is what I'm hearing you say, because none of the plan is going to work for you if you're not doing it. That's the message, folks. You've got to do it. And so if there's something on there that scares you to death, and maybe you only have one of those 10 things each week that scares you to death, and there's only one big moment of courage to do it. Now, I know from experience, and CJ, I believe you do too, that when you do one of those scary things and the other ones that you're all comfortable with, the next time you do the scary thing, it's not quite as scary as it was before.
Absolutely.
Okay, excellent. All right, I got another question for you. My clients and many of my listeners, they have barriers. We all do. What kinds of barriers have you noticed that entrepreneurs encounter that stop them from being successful? Or in other words, what is getting in the way?
There are three things that I think are really the big three monsters that are stepping on our success: fear, resistance, and procrastination. Fear is you're afraid to be rejected, so you don't ask for the business. Resistance is you think you shouldn't have to market because you're good at what you do. Procrastination looks like you find excuses to do other much less important things, like looking through your inbox at all that fascinating email you've been receiving and actually reading it, because those things are so much easier, those less important things, than facing head on whatever's preventing you from being as successful as you want. This is what causes
Wow.
a lot of people to really hide behind marketing strategies that don't involve direct contact, because you can avoid rejection by doing that way. So if all you ever do is send out email, boy, that can help you avoid a lot of rejection. It's probably not going to allow you to be very successful, but it doesn't involve direct contact with customers, right? So it doesn't bring up the fear.
I have a name for people who have overcome those three things of fear, resistance, and procrastination. I just typically call them rich. Because that's what they're going to become if they overcome fear, resistance, and procrastination that leads to doing it. They become wealthy. So I was just going to make that comment right there.
I love it. And you're right on the mark. You've got to work on overcoming your fears or other self-sabotaging behaviors if you really want to be successful. You know, I think so many entrepreneurs who experience fear believe that they're the only ones. They're looking at everybody else and saying, oh, well, they must have been naturally born fearless. It is not true. Everybody in business for themselves is afraid at times. It's just that most people don't like to talk about it. And it's
so important.
Well, absolutely.
And we're not really asking them to eliminate fear, because that's not realistic.
No.
We're asking them to overcome it. Listen, courage is in the absence of fear. There's no need for it without fear. You use courage to face your fear, right?
Absolutely. Courage is not the absence of fear. It's the ability to take action while you are afraid.
Excellent.
And
totally agree.
We can all learn to do that. We can. And the more that we do it, the more skilled we become at being able to market ourselves, even when we feel fearful about what might happen.
Yes. Very, very good. So along those same lines that we were just talking about there, if an entrepreneur discovers that they are thinking or acting in ways that are negative or ineffective, such as being paralyzed by fear, for example, what can they do?
You need to do two things at once. You need to work to counteract what's making you afraid, but you also need to practice marketing and self-promotion in relatively safe environments. So take your self-introduction or your elevator speech. Try it on with friends, with colleagues, with a coach before you take it out in the world. Practice having selling conversations with people who will give you some honest feedback. That kind of practice of what you're going to say and how you're going to say it, very, very effective, because it starts eliminating the unknowns. It starts getting you more comfortable with talking about your business and talking about yourself. At the same time, see if you can identify what you are afraid of and what might reduce that fear. You know, you really can't fight fear. It's just like fighting fire with gasoline. When you resist it, it just gets stronger. So instead of fighting the fear, instead of denying it, oh, I'm not afraid, right? Or ignoring it, oh, I'm just going to pretend that's not going on, right? Recognize it, acknowledge it, oh, here it is, name it, and then try to feed the positive elements that could make that fear a little bit less. If it's rejection you're afraid of, well, work on building your self-confidence. If it's unknown that causes you fear, work to build up your knowledge. Name it, say, this is what's going on, I'm afraid of X. What can I do that might help me feel better about X? Let's work on that. So it's a very different
wonderful
approach than I think a lot of us take.
Yeah, wonderful advice. And I love what you said about practice. We all know the old saying, practice makes perfect. But imagine, as nervous as you might be, even if you practice something over and over and over again, imagine how nervous or fearful you'd be if, now that you're doing it in front of another person, it's the first time that you're ever doing it. Of course you're going to put it off if that's the case. So practice in the mirror, practice with friends, practice with people who will give you honest feedback, like you were just saying, and then at least that fear will be lessened. It's not the first time that these words are coming out of your mouth as you're saying them. So I love that advice, and I would echo that 100%.
Thank you for that, and I think it really does help. There's another piece of this that I think might be useful. When we're talking about this question of, I'm really feeling fearful or resistant, or I'm procrastinating on things, I'm pushing, they should be pulling toward me, there's a place to go and look, and it's this. You have to love your prospects. so many of the sources of our discomfort have to do with feeling distant or separated from the people who we're marketing to. We feel hesitant to pick up the phone and call them, but we would never feel that way about a friend. We dread going to places where clients might be, but if we really loved them, we'd be looking forward to it. We hold back
wow.
from asking them to work with us because we've got this fear of rejection, but we wouldn't do that with somebody who we cared about, who we wanted to spend more time with.
Wow.
So that's
where you need to look. Because you're not saying just love your existing paying clients. You're saying love the prospect, including the prospect who ends up maybe telling you no or not yet, but love them and you have a different feeling about them throughout the process. I think that's what you're saying.
That is absolutely what I'm saying. Not love your clients, love your prospects.
That is
and
a fantastic paradigm.
It really is. You know, who we are as independent professionals is we are helpful, caring people. That's why we've chosen to be in a business that is all about helping others. So we need to just let ourselves be that and show that. Don't let a wall form between you and the people who you want to become your clients. Break it down. Reveal yourself. Don't be afraid to let those people know that you care about them. If you can do that, if you can let people know you care about them, they're going to be eager to hire you, and you're going to feel a lot better about talking to them on the phone, going to places where they gather, interacting with them in their world, because it's your world too.
Terrific, terrific advice. So, CJ, what's missing from the marketing plans of most entrepreneurs? Let's say they have one. What's missing?
The really critical decision you have to make to have a workable, useful marketing plan is you have to know who you're marketing to. Because without a clearly defined niche, you just find yourself running all over the place. Without a market niche, you don't know where you should be networking. You don't know who your likely referral partners are. You don't know how to create an enrolling soundbite for your business. You don't know what should be on your website. You don't know where you might give a talk or write an article. You really can't make any important decisions about how to market yourself without having a clearly defined market niche. I know that sometimes independent professionals get into this place of, I don't want to limit myself. Having a niche does not limit you. It focuses you. When you have a really clearly defined niche, what you can do is you can make a plan to seek out your prospective clients or for them to find you in this vast sea of possibilities out there. When you don't have that niche, there's no way for you to choose and prioritize what your marketing activities are going to be.
So on that note, what would you say to those entrepreneurs who are worried that by focusing on a niche, they're leaving business on the table for those outside of the niche?
It's a great question. Here's the thing. If you encounter somebody who might possibly hire you and they're not in your niche, great, do business with them if you want to. But most of the time, that's not how it works. Either you got to seek them out or they've got to seek you out. So allow those bluebirds to fly in your window and become clients, if you wish, people outside your niche. But when you look at making a plan to seek out prospective clients or making a plan to allow prospective clients to find you, you have got to be specific, because if you're not, your task is absolutely impossible. Take one very simple example. Let's say networking. You decide an effective way to market your business is going to be live, local networking, going to events and meeting people. Okay, so I don't know about your city, but in my city, you could go to a networking event for breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of the week.
Yep, absolutely.
So is that what you're going to do? I hope not.
Oh, that's a lot of time spent, though.
Right. You got to choose. And how do you choose? How do you choose if you're going to go to the Chamber of Commerce mixer or the Professional Women's Network lunch or the Accounting Professionals Awards dinner? How do you choose if you don't know who your market niche is? It's impossible. And that's only one way
Absolutely.
Of marketing yourself. There are hundreds of others, and you've got to make that kind of choice about every single one of them.
You can almost hear paradigm shifts happening right now with my listeners as they realize, oh, so I can really work with anybody in my business, even outside my niche, but when it comes to marketing, my hunting practices, so to speak, I need to focus on my niche. For it, in fact, I'll come back to a hunting analogy. If I'm going hunting, am I hunting for deer, rabbit, buffalo, wildebeest? I mean, am I hunting for everything all at the same time? Because if I am, I might get nothing. I need to focus on that particular thing that I'm looking for. But hey, if I get a rabbit while I'm looking for a deer, I'm okay with that too.
Absolutely. You can have rabbits too if that's what happens. But in the meantime, if what you do is you say, I'm going to try and go out and hunt for everything at once, well, are you carrying a bow or a rifle or a shotgun? Are you going
right.
to the woods or to the ocean? You've got to know, or else
great
analogy. No
decision. What if I'm carrying a shotgun and I come across a buffalo? That's not going to work. So I
not
like,
help you.
Like to use the images, paint the picture, have a niche, and then make sure that your efforts are focused on the niche, and you will, in fact, be more successful in the end.
You brought up the hunting metaphor, and I think that's a great one for people who that works for. I love cooking metaphors, and I just want to throw one out there for exactly the same thing, because as you know, Kip, Get Clients Now is organized like a cookbook. So here's a metaphor for people who maybe don't relate to the hunting metaphor. Get Clients Now, as you know, Kip, is organized like a cookbook. Imagine that you're going to the kitchen and you're going to fix a meal. Are you going to fix breakfast or lunch or dinner? And once you start making decisions about that, okay, so you're going to fix lunch. Great. Who are your guests? Do you have any vegetarians coming? That's going to dictate who your menu is. Is there anybody who is allergic to wheat? Well, I guess it's not going to be sandwiches, right? Everything that you set
right.
out to do that requires an organized plan requires you knowing who it is you are trying to serve. And if you don't know that, you can't make a valid plan.
That was one of the things I loved about the book. The very first time I went through is that it is just like a cookbook, and you're just putting together the ingredients within the recipe to make sure that you're cooking the thing that you want to cook. And so it's so simple and easy to use. I love that. So I just have a couple more for you. If you had one piece of advice for someone starting out marketing their business today, what would it be?
Start with the simple stuff first. Don't think that you've got to use every marketing approach possible all at once right out of the gate. Maybe eventually you will have a website and a newsletter and a blog and a social networking profile and be doing public speaking and writing articles. But you cannot possibly start doing all of those things at the same time and have any hope of being successful at any one of them. So start by getting clear about exactly what it is that you do, who you do it for, and then start talking to people about that, beginning with the people who you already know. Let them know what you're doing and the kind of clients you're looking for. I run into a lot of new entrepreneurs who feel as if they can't let their friends and family know about their business until they've become successful. But that's completely backwards. The vast majority of us, where our initial clients come from, is the people who we already know. So people will say to
me,
oh, I don't really have much of a network. We all have a network, but you're probably just not thinking about them as people who can lead you to business. Your friends, your family, the people you used to work with, the people who you play sports with, the people who you have a spiritual practice with, the people who you do your hobby with, the people who are in your checkbook and on your credit card statement, the people who you are already doing business with because you're paying them to do something for you, all of those people are in your network. They need to know what it is that you're doing now, the kind of clients that you're looking for, and how they can help you be more successful with this new business. That's where the success is going to come from. It's not some other way of first somehow creating a business and then coming back to people and saying, ta-da, look at me, I'm a success.
That would be kind of the backward way of doing it. So, CJ, let me ask you this, and I'm going to put you on the spot with this one, and I think I know the answer, but on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most critical, most important, 1 being the least critical, least important, how important is it for entrepreneurs to have a marketing plan?
A number one, top of the list. You've got to have some kind of plan. You need system.
On our show, we need a system. We need a plan. And you're saying it's a 10 out of 10 in terms of how important it is. On our show, we always assign homework. We do it in the spirit of coaching. So, folks, get out your pens, papers, keyboards, to screens, whatever you're using to jot this down on, because the homework assignment this week is to write out your marketing plan. If you already have a program that you believe will work for you or is working for you currently, then write your plan using that program. If not, then pick up a copy of Get Clients Now by CJ Hayden and follow CJ's simple yet powerful 28-day marketing program. It's easy. It's customized for you, and you won't believe it because you're like, well, how can it be customized? It's already pre-printed in this book. Trust me, it is customized based on what you pick and choose from this menu cookbook style. It will help you create the structure and action that every marketing program and every entrepreneur needs. It worked for me. It still works for me. It will work for you. I want you to visit www.getclientsnow.com for more information about CJ, about her wonderful books, her excellent program. And I know that CJ has some special offers for listeners today. CJ, if you'd like to expound upon those just a little bit.
I absolutely will. And thank you for those lovely words about the Get Clients Now book, Kip. I have a free offer and a very, very cheap offer. So the free offer is if you go to getclientsnow.com and you subscribe to my newsletter, you will get a free copy of my guide, 5 Secrets to Finding All the Clients You'll Ever Need. So that will cost you absolutely nothing. And the second offer is the Get Clients Now book. The entire program, the whole system is spelled out in the book. It's on sale right now. The book is 35% off. It's only $12.95. And if you buy the book from my website, you will also get a bonus audio. It's a 75-minute audio workshop, and the topic is the secret to marketing. It's not what you think.
Fantastic. Folks, don't miss out on that special offer. Again, my own testimonial, this program works. These are timeless principles. Principles cannot be invented. They just are. They're natural laws, fundamental truths about how we attract and gain clients in this particular case. CJ, thank you so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure, and I'd love to have you on the show again sometime.
Absolutely, Kip. I'd be happy to come back anytime.
All right, folks. And as always, remember, if you want to succeed, you can if you will.
For more information, visit KipKent.com. And remember, you can if you will.